Well, welcome to the Repos non-league show, and as you can see, we are joined by the triumphant Romford boys tonight. Of course, FA Vars finalists against Great Wakering on May the 11th. And guys, it's just fantastic to have you on. And I suppose once again, a massive congratulations to all of you.
Thanks for having
Thank
us. Thank
you.
you, David.
Thank you.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
you, Steve. I suppose start with you, mate. I mean, how are you feeling? Have your nerves calmed down a bit?
I keep watching Jamie's penalty, thinking he's not going to put it in, but he tells me it's all right. Yeah, it's fantastic. There's a lot to do. I thought I'd just be sort of, sitting here with my feet up, sort of saying thank you to people, but people are sending me documents through that are like the latest Harry Potter book, and there's a lot to do, so I have to keep ringing Scott every 5 minutes because he's been there and done it.
Scott, did you? I mean, tell us a bit about yourself then. I mean, I'm with it, and I mean, it's of course with sort of TNT and yourself, but I mean, how different is this going to be being sort of like in the dugout?
How long you got, mate?
Yeah.
Now I'm joking. Oh, do you know what? I said it the other day that for me, I just because of being there before, I just know what the club's going to experience and what the boys are, and that was the feeling when we beat Lincoln. That was the feeling I had. I knew everyone was going to be living that moment for the next month, the build up. I know obviously Steve and Dan are going to be ridiculously busy, but in a good way. The boys can talk about it as much as they like. Albeit we've still got a league to compete in and get promoted, but I just knew that feeling was going to be incredible for the lads, and just pleased for everyone to get it over the line. Obviously, as I'm sure you're aware, in the shootout, we looked like we were home and hosed. Then we wasn't. Then it completely switched up, and then we come back again. So fair play to the boys because it was some serious pressure that day.
Well, I'll be honest with you, I was following it on Twitter, and I was in a getting out of the car in a car park in Prestatyn in Wales, going into Tesco's, and I knew there was no signal in Tesco's, and I saw you were 2-0 up, and I'm sitting there refreshing, refreshing, refreshing. And all I kept seeing was people saying, "I'm dying here. Please hurry up. Give us another tweet. Give us another tweet." And of course, by the time I come out, you'd missed two as well. And I'm thinking, oh no. But it was all right in the end.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, Jake's done brilliant. He saved the first two penalties. You can't ask for more. And then we've scored our first two as well. I think Pinto, you took the, Jamie took the first, Pinto took the second. Is that
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah.
They both scored. So you think there, you're almost there, sort of thing. You know, you can even afford to miss another penalty and still get there. Obviously, their keeper, to be fair, he made a great save from Sam Dearen's penalty. Great save. And then saved Hassan's as well. And it kind of switched around. And obviously, their crowd got their backs up and doing everything possible to put everyone off, obviously, as you can imagine, having home advantage. But everyone after that, it's unreal the way the boys kept their nerve. You know, it made it all the way back round, obviously, to Jamie taking the second one. Even Jake in goal after headbutting the post, he managed to compose himself and take his penalty and score as well. So just brilliant for everyone all round. I can't even imagine what it was like for the likes of Steve and, obviously Dan watching, because obviously we're there focused on our penalties, but for them guys, it must have been horrendous.
I think Dan got that excited. He's pressed the exit button, but he's back again. Look.
There he is.
All over the place.
When that penalty shootout's taking place, and that's obviously for the guys, are you? I know you're like focused on your penalties, but when you're back at the centre circle and you've all got your arms around each other, are you actually thinking, if this doesn't happen, then we just get on the bus and go home? But if this does happen, we're going to Wembley, or do you literally just switch off completely?
To be honest, for me personally, I had zero thoughts on anything other than what was at hand, which was, to be honest, actually, when it gets past five penalties, six penalties, seven penalties, the realism of shit, it might come back round to me again. What do you do? Do you go the same way? Do you pick another spot? If you change your mind, are you going to miss it? And it's yeah, I always try and just to focus on what I need to do. And as long as I know I can stop my penalty, it might settle nerves for others. But yeah, faults aren't really there when you're actually in that position, for me personally anyway.
But I suppose on that sort of point, I mean, when you was all you got, were you all the guys here, you know, Jamie, Finley, and Pinto, were you all there taking penalties, or was you on the pitch at the time?
No, so I was on the bench at the time, so the nerves were probably the same as everyone else watching.
So was you sub? Was you had you been
I
substituted?
got yeah, I got
Uh,
taken off.
so that's
I
my
got yeah.
question. When you get to that sort of point, and you know there's a possibility that he's going to penalties, are you sitting there thinking, "Come on, Dan, hurry up, take me off"?
No, to be fair, I would, to be fair, if he needed me to take a penalty, I would. More than like happily take a penalty, but yeah, it was
Just been a bit nervous to answer the question.
yeah.
That's
No, I would have taken a
not
penalty, I
water,
promise.
Finn.
You know what? On that though, David, funny enough, a lot of people watching didn't know that it went straight to penalties. I know my family didn't. My brothers were there, mum and dad, and they were like, "What's going on? Like, they're still on the halfway line. Why is there no extra time?" So they actually wasn't aware that there was no extra time. And I actually think we was aware that they had won four previous rounds on penalty shootouts. I actually think we wanted extra time because we were well in the ascendancy. Like, we was having chance after chance after chance. The keeper was making saves.
I mean,
So
just to interrupt you, their manager did inform everybody quite a few times that they'd won sort of four in
yeah.
a row.
And it was quite evident on the pitch, like they were, you know, slowing it down, wasting time. That's what they wanted. Of course, you're going to want it. If you won four in a row, you obviously think you're either very good at them, you've got luck on your side, or a bit of both. So they wanted that. And I must admit, I know Jamie touched on it there, but I normally you don't have any thoughts. You're just focused on the penalties. But once we went 2-0 up, I genuinely thought that was it. I thought, wow, we're
Yeah.
there. You know, we can afford to miss one more. Like, we can have someone miss one, which can happen. But I never did I think that we was going to have two saved, and then it was because they went first. Every single penalty from then on was you have to score, otherwise we're out. For all the players, for all the lads, Jamie going back round, myself, Jake, loads of lads. So,
Huge,
so
huge
fair play.
pressure. It's interesting because, as you said, Scott. The minute we're 2-0 up, penalties, I guess, is a luck game, right? I mean, you can score or miss them or a great save, but it went around a lot of players. It went through the keepers. So I guess it's one of those things, what's meant to be is meant to be, because when you're there holding each other, as we go 2-0 up, we're thinking, well, okay, we're in now. But once we're back to pretty much a draw, you're thinking, oof.
Yeah.
Nervousness kicks in.
So you said he did go as far as the goalies as well then?
Yeah.
Yes,
Yeah,
past
yeah.
the goalies.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah, we're past, yeah.
it went through all the so all obviously 11. So Jake went last, and then obviously Jamie took first. So what happened is that their lad who missed their first penalty, he then retook his first one, obviously back round and missed again. Which then obviously Jamie scored his again. Yeah, so he, as you can imagine, he was pretty fairly cut up after the game. But yeah, so it did. It went all the way back around. Their goalie took one, scored. Jake took his very well, scored. There was basically the two penalties missed on both sides until it went all the way back round, and then their first guy missed again.
So was it a case of, are you saying that, Jamie? You get to that second one, you're saying you're looking. No one's gone in. No one's gone in. No one.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I've got to take another one because you must think to yourself, right? Pressure's off. I'll put my one away. I'll go and stand here and just watch now. And then all of a sudden, it's coming around again. So did you actually put it the same way, or did you go the other way?
Yeah, no, I put it the same way. So yeah, I tend to try and pick a spot and go for it. And I mean, any young players that are watching, or any good coach will tell you, pick a spot and hit it. If you miss, you miss, but don't be changing your mind, because then that's just, you're probably guaranteed to miss if you start doubting yourself or whatever. So yeah, always pick a spot. And to be honest, as you said, like when you take your penalty, I've scored the first one. I tend to like to take an early penalty because I can take the pressure. I'm a senior player. I've been there before, so I can take the pressure. So it might release a bit of pressure off others, but to then get back to the point where, like Dobby said and Pinto said, we've scored two and they've missed two. You now think we've got this wrapped up. To then not have it wrapped up and miss the next two, your whole emotions change, your headspace changes. And then to get round the full 11 and have to step up again, knowing that Wembley is round the corner if you score this penalty, to be honest, my first thought was just hit targets. Just hit the target and whatever happens, happens. So yeah, there's a lot of different emotions within a short space of time.
Dan, are you back with us?
He's having a nightmare.
He's having a bit of a
He
nightmare.
just messaged
He's
me
muted at
saying his
the
internet's playing up.
Back in Lincoln, is he?
Do you know
Someone put
what?
50p in his internet, please.
Fair play, like you know, fair play, like on that to Jamie, because you know what? I thought about that. Obviously, after the game, Dan says, you know, who wants to take a penalty? And to be honest with you, I mean, I went seventh and I see six, probably seven hands straight up, straight away. Like because there was quite a lot, all the first five, you know, Hassan, Jake, Pinto, there was a lot of people all said yeah straight away, which was good, you know. Sometimes people don't want it, and there's nothing wrong with that. I understand it, especially when you're, you know, obviously everyone's tired as well. The wind was mad up there as well. It was crazy. But yeah, to obviously go round in Jamie, you're thinking when it's your second one, it's what's the keeper thinking? Is he thinking I'm going to switch it up? Is he thinking I'm going to go the same way? So it was tough. I think there was a lot of credit to Lee, Jamie's brother. He took the fifth one. And although we all had to score, he had to take the one after our two lads had missed. So obviously, if he missed as well, we was out. So there was a lot of pressure on that one. So it was fair play to him because to kind of get us back on the roll again after missing two penalties.
When it goes all the way round, and I know I should know the answer to this, so everyone in the whole team has taken one, does it have to be the same order again?
No, it doesn't. No, it could be anyone.
So for Jamie and said, well, actually, you know, Lee can have the next one or Pinto and I'll
Yeah.
further down the line.
Do you know what? We funny enough, Dowie, we had that conversation quickly, didn't we? Because we knew it was going round on the pitch. Us players said, you know what? It's worked. Let's just keep it the exact same.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
We'd had that little
Exactly
conversation
that.
all of 5, 10 seconds, just said, look, let's
Yeah,
just keep it the same.
the linesman said to me, you can go in any order you like now. And then obviously I think from the touchline they like were shouting on some stuff as well. It was hard to hear, honestly. But and I spoke to like Pinto, I think you was next to me as well. And we
Yeah,
kind of
we were
just
next to each
decided
other.
amongst ourselves, we were like, you know what? Keep it the same.
Keep the same.
Keep the same order. And more importantly, if you want to take it, I mean, Jamie was already on his way. So if he wants to take it, let him take it. There's no point changing it for no reason, unless someone is really that nervous and they don't really fancy it. Then obviously, someone else can do it. But there were some pretty good penalties, to be honest with you, on both sides.
I was going to
And
ask that.
ultimately there was a lot of senior players taking pens, people that have been around and done it before. So if you're gonna trust, you put your trust in your senior players. Obviously, put your trust in young players as well. But people that were taking, they've been around for a long time. So I guess probably you don't get Wembley at stake all the time. But yeah, a pen is a pen. So.
How many of the squad though now have actually been to the stadium before and played there?
Two, I believe.
I want to say
Four, I
four.
think. Four
So
players.
me, Sam Deering, Remy, and Bakari, yeah, four players. Four.
Well done.
Was
Yeah.
Remy Hornchurch what? Was that the Hornchurch
Yeah,
one?
so
Yeah.
Remy won the trophy of Hornchurch, and we didn't actually realise the other day that he actually played against Bakari, was playing for Hereford that day. So he played against him. Sammy was there with Oxford. And then I was there. So yeah, four players have been there.
you got that experience. But I suppose one question I want to ask Pino is because I've seen you play myself because I used to be there at Abley when Terry was there. But you always see, has Terry contacted you? Because you, for me, you was always a Terry Spillane player. Whenever Terry moved a club, you was always there with him.
Yes. Me and Terry are very, very, very close. He's always looked after me. And then yeah, every time I played for him, I tried to give my best, my 100%. So my relationship with Terry is very, very, very strong.
You had someone else there, didn't you, Pinto?
Yes, I had a friend. In actual fact, was a person that I stayed over when I moved over to England in Birmingham. His name is Mark O'Shea. He's a footballing person as well. But yeah, very, very close friend.
I mean, with it now, I mean, have you do you know what this sort of what the day entails now? I know Steve's probably had his book sent through now by now, I would have thought from the FA. But I mean, do you if you guys have been through it before, I mean, do you sort of roughly let the players know what to expect?
Yeah, I think it's similar in ways and different in ways. Obviously, when I've been there before, it's been playoffs, so you have only the one fixture on the day. So in terms of time wise, there was nothing, because we've got the trophy final after us. So there was none of the time schedule, obviously that we're gonna have because that game's after their players getting in, etc. But apart from that, I think yeah, leading up to it, fairly similar in ways about things that kind of go on there and home and away dressing rooms and kits and things like that, and whether you stay overnight before, whether you don't stay overnight, and leading up to it. And I'm pretty sure, I don't, Steve, maybe I'd answer, I'm not sure, but I think they used to let you go and view the lads if you want to go and view the stadium the day before to have a look round, try and. And I think it's a good idea they do that, to be honest with you, because it lets people soak it in the day before. So it's not kind of too much in one go on the day and trying to take in all the surroundings and that. So I think that was what I remember was always a good idea that I thought that they did.
I know, David, sort of speaking to Dan, that sort of one of the things that him and his coaching staff want to do is give the players the very best preparation that they can. I'm sure Greg Wakeman will do the same. So, looking at things like, do we travel up the night before? Where do we stop? Where do we stay? What will the players have to eat? What will they? Because it's quite an early kickoff. It's going to be sat around about 12:15 or 12:30. So, does that mean then that the players have a breakfast, or do they not have breakfast but have a snack? So Dan's looking at sort of everything that he can, and I don't know, but I guess Scott and Jamie and sort of Pinto, that he's looking at those sort of players that are sort of older and sort of, sorry, older, more experienced. And
Oh,
oh, did he stop?
and older.
Edit that out, David.
That gets you the divorce,
Asking the more experienced players, what's best, what works for them. But as I say, we just want to set up, for it as professionally as proper as we can. But for me, I just want the players to go out and enjoy it, because I know a couple of them have been there before, but most players don't get to experience this at all. Scott, how many players have you played with, or Jamie or Pinto, that have never had a sniff of Wembley? And you guys are going to get to do it. So what I hope, whatever happens in the coming days or weeks, that is one of their experiences in non-league football. Is, do you remember the day we went to Wembley with Romford and how great it was?
Well, do you know, I can give you a good example actually, because so obviously Aaron McLean, who I work with on the TNT, I mean, he had a fantastic career. He played in the Prem, played the highest level of football you can. And he was saying to me, I'd never got to play there. And he never got to play there. So that's just one example of, that there are some players that have played top level as well that haven't been fortunate enough to get there. So I think this is just another, it's another fantastic thing about this FA Bars competition and it being held at Wembley, giving the likes of like non-league players and that and all of us the chance to play on obviously the biggest stage.
So are you get Dan? I mean, the boss just said that you're going to look at the older players and get them to actually see how to plan it out and have a chat with them. Is that the case?
I think we all learn from each other and bits and pieces from it. Obviously, I spoke to Scott from his experiences. Things are probably new there now that he's going to see as well that wasn't there when he was there. So, I'll be honest, I want to enjoy the day. I want to take every little thing that we learn that we see on the day as an experience and enjoy every moment of it, to be honest with you. Talking about being professional, Steve, and doing everything the right way, I've just had the hotel on the phone. That's where I was. So I'll send you the bill over in the morning. Then we'll see how professional we are.
My internet's just gone down, Dan. Carry on.
When you're in it.
Do you know what, though? I think one good thing is it was almost like the Lincoln game was a bit of a trial for the club and Dan for us staying over because we've never done that before. So at least now we know that we've done that. And obviously, everyone together, like having all the same foods and everything, waking up similar times, doing kind of the chill out period and that. And it's proven that it's kind of, that side that if we did do that, it's worked, and the preparation.
I try and make the most of the occasion as well, haven't you? I mean, the 90 minutes is just a football match, but the build up the day before,
yeah,
all the morning of it, it's all you all want to be together and relish that together, to be honest with you. Putting it into there when we're in the coach, it's going to be a real good buzz, isn't it?
Yeah.
And has there been any talk about, a trip afterwards if you win? I mean, about LA and Tenerife.
Did they say so to you while I was away?
That is a great point.
Is it a situation where it's going to be Southend so that BBC Sport Essex will come down and do some interviews with you?
I'm
stuffed.
I think Pinto's in charge of the holiday, ain't you, Pinch?
Yeah, but it's a trip to Adventure Island in Southend at the moment.
Jamie's got the bucket now, look. He's off the bucket. But I mean, do you see that? I mean, with it, and, it's been in my hat all week, the fact that this is a Essex derby?
Yeah.
Or is that a sore point? It's an Essex derby? I mean, Google says
I think it helped with the fans factor. But I wouldn't say the two clubs are a real derby side. Well, I speak to their manager quite well. I've had a few of their players play for us previously and vice versa. So I wouldn't say there's much of a derby between the two clubs, but the Essex factor will come into it a little bit and it should bring a few more supporters along, hopefully.
Yeah, I think if it was maybe like a Tilbury or something, then I'd say it'd be maybe a bit more spicy. But like we don't see them. It's not like a local derby, but it's just brilliant. It's brilliant for the league and obviously, the county and everything all round having two sides in the final.
It's quite funny, Dave, now, because BBC Essex will have to admit that we're in Essex.
Yeah.
Well, I have been trying my best.
I got contacted today by BBC London.
Oh, did you?
Not sure how it is, but they want to come down and do something with it. So probably similar to what you guys experienced during the week. And that's all new, certainly new for me, interest from sort of, national media and television, but it helps build the profile for the club moving forward. I mean, Dan will tell you that sort of at the beginning of the season, promotion was what we was after. It's still the main aim. I mean, this is fantastic, but we know we're going to Wembley, but we've actually probably got another three or four games before we get there, and that will define where we are for the playoffs.
I mean, Finlay, I mean, how are you feeling about this whole situation? You're the schoolboy of the team. I mean, as they keep telling you, but I mean, how are you feeling about this? 17 years of age, and you're going to go and play, in the biggest stadium in this country, if not, one of the biggest in the world. I mean, how are you feeling about it? And what's the sort of the feelings as well of your family knowing that you're going to go and play there?
Yeah, it's a good feeling. It's just like every kid has ever wanted to do, and I've just got lucky to do it quite an early age with like such a good group of lads. But yeah, it's a bit famous around school with it as well, playing at Wembley and stuff like that. But yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
I mean, what's it like having the young man with you, Dan? I mean, you know, is it a case of, you know, making sure the, you know, the older ones with the experience are, you know, sort of, you know, keeping him on a level playing field, shall we say, making sure the own work's done and all that sort of stuff?
I'll be honest, David, he came in last year when I took over towards the end and he was excellent. And the older boys will tell you the same. He'd give us a little bit of higher energy that we were sort of lacking towards the end of last season. And I think we brought a couple of young lads in and they all give us that little bit of extra energy and got us through the end of last season where we finished very well. And I think that is what we had something to build upon this season. It gave me a chance to keep some of the better players with some of the younger ones, and we've added to that. And I think the older boys will agree. I've watched him go from a boy to a man this year, to be honest with you. Start of the season, he was quiet. I now hear him dictating what goes on the pitch, what's going to happen, where he's, you know, he wouldn't think he's 17 when he's playing the game, I can assure you of that. I hear him telling people, some experienced players, where to be and what to do, which I like to see, which is what we all want to see. And the older boys don't let him off because he's 17. He gets the same treatment as everyone else, which he likes. He wants that.
Yeah.
His parents, they like to see that. They want to keep him on his toes. And there's been loads of positive feedback about him. All we hear is phone calls from clubs saying, Finley this, Finley that. So, yeah, he's on the profile. But keep his feet on the ground and a trip to Wembley, I think he deserves it.
I mean, we've been talking about the second leg. Can I take you guys all back to that first leg? Because that first leg was something different. You know, I mean, that was just one of the best games I've seen in a long, long time. I mean, Dan, what was you thinking? You know, was it 4 minutes, 6 minutes?
I can't repeat what I was thinking.
Mr. Newby gets sent off. Then all of a sudden, he's a hotly disputed penalty, shall we say, as well on after that. So where was your feelings at that? I mean, I was watching you on the touchline, you know, going absolutely bonkers. But I mean, what was the actual sort of feeling in that? And the guys yourselves, when you go down to 10 men, you go down, you know, you're 1-0 down. Where were your heads at? I mean, because for me, up until even when you scored the goal, you were the better side once you went down to 10 men.
Well, just to clear it up, David, me and Jamie, two of the lads in it, weren't actually there.
Right.
We was away, and I'm not just saying this, and I know Jamie was the same. It was horrific. And for those boys, I can't imagine. But when you're not there and you're knowing that you can't do nothing about it, and then you hear that start with obviously Newby getting sent off and then the penalty, yeah, it was.
It's probably easier being a player on the pitch because it's happening around you and you sort of have to react to it. You have no choice as such.
Yeah.
I just felt that we planned for something and it was our whole season that built up and it was near enough gone in 9 minutes. Yeah. And I knew if we could get through the first 15 minutes and the shaky period, we would grow into the game. We would get ourselves set. And I thought the penalty was harsh and I still do, to be honest with you. People would tell me differently, but that's what I thought. I thought to get a sending off and the penalty with inside an 8 or 9 minutes looked very, very harsh on us. But after them 10 minutes, as you say, I felt there was nothing in it. And then when we conceded the last one, that was more of the gut nutter for me because I thought we'd put everything into the game, got a result that we could go up to Lincoln with and still win the tie. Yeah. And then they'd done that to us, but it was in the stars. It was written in the stars, yeah.
The sending off and the penalty. So I won't say who they were, but shall we say two ex, very very high ex Premier League referees, and just said to them, "What's your thoughts on both of them?" Now, one of them came back and said, "Definite red card and penalty." The other one came back and said, "Yellow card and penalty." So they both agreed on the penalty, but they was both of them disputed whether or not it was a sending off or not.
Good job, they didn't speak to me that day because we were having a dispute.
I think
football's about opinions, but I just feel if he's a smaller guy makes that lean in, if Jamie does it, because he's so big and we see it a lot, and the boys will agree, the goal against disallowed against him in the other end, he didn't touch him. But because he goes up and he's so big, everything's against him before he's even started, I always feel. And don't get me wrong, I pulled him when it was a silly, silly challenge to make, he knows that. But I just think the ball's going out of play. It's going nowhere. You see it most weeks, but I'll let that one go now.
On the pitch, to be honest, our squad is so strong and there's so much belief that we had a conversation. And as long as we stayed calm, we were playing at home, a lot of support. And as long as we stayed calm and didn't concede, more than two goals, we're always going to go back to their place and take it to them. So ultimately, if it was one game, probably there would have been a lot more nerves because people would have been uptight. But there was two games. As long as we kept it nice and tight, there was a lot of ability. Therefore, we could have always gone back to their house and really see what they've got about them. And yeah, the boys just done an excellent job.
I mean, I was at Merthyr versus Hendon on Saturday, and there was a penalty given then there to Merthyr, and it was exactly the same as the penalty in your first leg, except it was a little bit, you know, away from the touchline, but he was actually running down the edge of the box, and exactly the same challenge and exactly the same outcome to the actual to the challenge as well.
Through me then.
Yeah, I think like Pinto just said, but the character. I mean, you've had a man, you've had not just a man, you've had your captain sent off in 2 minutes. You've had a penalty given about 5 minutes later. You then obviously the goal, and then obviously they've scored from the penalty. Gone one nil up. Like the boys have got back in it, and then. Even the second goal, in my opinion, is very fortunate. I think it was Fozzy makes a great tackle, and it just kind of happens to roll to the lad to poke in, you know. So there was a number of setbacks in that game, and we kept on coming. And you know what? Wherever it hit Ash, that final second goal, we deserved it. It didn't matter whether it hit him in the face, the arm, the chest. Who cares? Like the boys deserved it after obviously the setbacks that we had playing the whole game with 10 men as well, which is never easy. So that just put us on a great path for the second leg, to be honest with you. Any kind of draw there after what happened was brilliant.
I mean, I've filmed loads of games, and I was filming that first leg and completely lost it when you equalised at 2-2. You could hear it on the camera as well.
Scenes.
My missus just turned about and she went, what? Oh, she can't do that. I went, I'm sorry, it's too late now. and even when I was editing, she said, you've got to turn the sound down so they can't hear you. Sort of screaming at the top of my lungs. But it was a fantastic thing. I mean, Steve, what you were watching it the same as I was from off the pitch. I mean, what was you like with that?
Well, I'll be totally honest. When the second one went in, sort of I turned to Colin and said, cut. You know, we've made it to a semi-final and look at the position that we've been put in here at the time, you know, from the other side of the pitch. You know, I know a bad tackle is a bad tackle, but normally you don't normally see players get sent off early in the game and then to give penalty away. And I said to Colin, it's going to be damage limitation here. If we can keep it down nil and we go up to their place and it's just a two-goal deficit, then we're okay. But I just thought the boys grew into the game. And even before Ash scored the equaliser, I generally wouldn't have minded another 10 minutes of that game. Whereas normally, sort of you think, right, we're 2-0 down. You know, how quickly can the whistle go? How, you know, can we delay it? Can we slow it down? But towards the end, I still fancied our chances to go on. And even in the second leg, I thought that Lincoln perhaps just shaded it in the first half. But in the second half, you know, if you watch the video, I mean, their goalkeeper does quite well. There's probably two or three that he pulls out from under his legs or just behind him, you know. And I have to say, Lincoln have been absolutely brilliant about it. You know, every game afterwards, they text me after Saturday's game, well done, 3-0, you're in the playoffs. Their chairman's text me again today, you know, look, we want to keep in touch and what have you. And I think sort of even there, supporters and sort of people have said that over the two legs, we deserve to go through. But especially having gone through what we went to. I mean, I don't know what our odds were after the penalty was given away, but I should imagine they probably shut up for a couple of minutes.
Yeah. All right. So now, how do you guys keep your heads on your shoulders with these? I mean, how many games have you got left in the league now if you take away the playoffs?
So don't include, league games.
You got how many, sir?
Four more.
Four more league games, and
then, Wednesday, Saturday, yeah,
and then playoffs after that. So, I mean, is it how? And they're all before the final. So, how now do you sort of shut that off with everything that's going on, trying to organise the final, trying to do this, trying to do that? How on earth, especially you, Dan, because I mean, literally, you're, as you just said, you're trying to organise it. Steve's trying to organise it. How do you sort of switch off? And then, you've got sort of like such a, you've got the very experienced players like Scott, and then you've got like the schoolboys like Finley. How do you keep all their heads together? You know, how on earth do you keep
the boys come in? Pinto, I was speaking to Pinto after the game on Saturday, and we've had a lot of games, and asked him about Wednesday. He said, and his answer to was, you got me in here to get you promoted. I play on Wednesday. We win on Wednesday. And that's the attitude of the group, to be honest with you. And that is what we always said, the FA Bar, this is all a bonus. Wembley's a little bit of fun at the end of a season, but our goal was to get promoted. Our goal is to now win the playoffs. And that is a priority to me, more than winning at Wembley. And I know that might sound thingy to others and whatever else, but ultimately, Wembley next, if we win at Wembley next year, it doesn't get us in the league above. It's going to be an enjoyable day. But everything was set out this season to try and get out of this league. Tilbury have done it remarkably to get where they are. We're going to finish short of them by the looks of it. So the next step is winning the playoffs, and that's what these boys are here. And they know that. And every game we go out to, my toughest game was Stanway, I felt, on Thursday, because it was the one after. The one we're still talking about, Jamie's penalty. We're still talking about some of them. We're still coming out of the bar Monday afternoon from Saturday night. And then we went training Tuesday that I think turned into a Wednesday afternoon drinking session again. It dragged. So getting through Thursday, and I said to Colin and Steve afterwards, well, we got through that one. Now I fancy us again. We'll get back onto things. Saturday, we're back to our best, to be honest with you. Saturday was good again. We got four more tough games. Every team that plays us now, we're the FA Bar's finalists, so they're going to raise their game slightly, 10%, and that little bit extra. So, but the boys know that quality I've got here, I expect we should be able to get through them.
So is it now, guys, that you're trying to look at that sort of second place to try and get sort of, is it the same as the other playoffs? That guarantees you the home semi-final, and if you win that, the final at home as well?
Yeah, good. Guaranteeing second is key to us because obviously the home legs, so home advantage is big as well. And you never know what can happen in the leagues above or whatnot if teams that are folding around us or anything else. So keep going and keep winning every game is a priority for us at the moment. And talk about Wembley on maybe 8th or 9th and 2 days before and when we get there, because that's probably when we're going to be finished once our jobs are done.
So no one's got any holidies booked for May the 11th then, no?
I think they might have cancelled.
No more holidays, no.
I think there's a few fans, Steve, that are flying back, aren't there?
I was going to say, I can't name them or their destinations because I don't know if they've told their other halves, but there's someone coming back from a very expensive, very sad place, and I know someone else who's cancelled their holiday, but I'm not being funny. At the beginning of the season, look at that. You don't think, oh, what's the date of the FA Vales final? When you're looking at the fixtures, oh, right, okay, well, we've got Ilford at home and then we've got Buckhurst still away or whatever. You don't think, oh, yeah, but when's non-league finals day? Because we're going to be in it.
And you, Scott, with a semi-final, wouldn't it?
Honestly, I booked a holiday last year thinking I'm going to miss Athletic Newham away. And I thought, you know, Dan would be all right with that, missing Newham away, it'd be all right. And the more the rounds are going, I'm thinking, oh, no. And then I thought to myself, And then afterwards, I was thinking, if I'm like, for me, the second leg in anyone is more important, obviously, than the first, because that's where it kind of, you know, it's kind of do or die sort of thing. But yeah, you can't. We didn't expect. It's brilliant, and I actually kind of said it in an interview the other day. For me, after we beat North Greenford in the quarterfinals, was the first time I saw real belief in the dressing room. You know what? We can win this. Like I was looking around and I could see it. I could see the boys thinking, yeah, you know what? We're in the semi-finals now. We got two legs. We fancy ourselves over two legs about against anyone. So yeah, it was at that point where for me, it changed. And funny enough, I actually know someone who lives in Spain, who's from Romford, who is lives in Spain now, but they're coming over for the final as well, flying in the day before. So it's good. It is good to hear people coming from all over.
Has Remy sort of spoken to the squad? Because, I mean, he's probably been the one that's been at Wembley finals day, you know, the last person to do it, which went to, you know, it was only, what, 3 or 4 years ago, wasn't it, I think? So has he actually...
Has he played against him the same day?
So, I mean, of the two of them, though, have they actually sort of spoken to, you know, to the group and just... You know, maybe tell them what to expect and as such.
More so, Dowie, to be fair.
Yeah, Bakari's just come in. Like, obviously, he's literally just come in the last couple of weeks. So, him not so much. But I know Remy was obviously, yeah, the last one. And it was a similar day to this. Obviously, it was the trophy. So, it was the trophy vase day. So, his was a lot more, obviously, the same as this. So, he's spoken to the lads and what have you as well. But, like Dan said, to be honest with you, whether you played there 10 years ago or a couple years ago, the things are always going to be changing there. There's always going to be different rules and different things in and what have you. So there's still going to be a lot of things on the day that are going to be new to us and the lead up as well.
And of course, when he got there the last time, he had it nice and easy. He didn't have to play any league games either, did he?
For him,
Who?
Remy.
COVID.
Oh,
COVID, yeah. Well,
yeah.
his experience must have been much different to everyone else's because I think they were limited, if I'm
There
correct, on the
was,
amount of people that was allowed
yeah.
there. So,
It was. It was cut. Yeah, I
it
think they
was
got 3,500
capped. Yeah, it
tickets.
was
Yeah.
capped. They capped the final, didn't they? So, and that was, like he said, I think they had four different dressing rooms as well because of the whole COVID thing as well. So, yet again, it's going to be different to that as well.
So I mean, with it, I mean, are you now just sort of pushing forward with it? I mean, what have the fans? I mean, sort of last couple of questions before we go to Mousel with the actual fans. I mean, Steve, I mean, how are the fans sort of reacting to it all? And I mean, is the excitement now sort of every game just vars, 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 and all the time? And have you sorted all the shirts out for everybody yet?
Well, trying to work that out. But in fairness, though, I mean, although obviously the bars everyone's talking about and looking forward to their day out at Wembley, I think all the supporters have brought into sort of what we want to do for next season, and everyone's sort of still focusing on this. And I think in a way it's good that we're sort of where we are within the playoffs, because otherwise everything would be about the vars, and then it practically devalues the games that you've got coming up and what have you. Whereas at the moment, what we're looking at is, or certainly as supporters, is what's the next game? We've got to finish second. Then once we've done that, then we can talk about the day out and what have you. But as I say, the main thing really for us at the moment is, I think we've won 9 or 10 on the bounce. Can we continue that on? But of course, it's generated a lot of interest. I took a phone call just before the show started from someone that I know, and he said, "I want 160 tickets. Do I get them from you? I don't get it straight to Wembley." I said, "You want 16 tickets?" He said, "No, I want 160 tickets. Everyone from work has been told they've got to come."
Weren't Dan, was it?
Huh?
Weren't Dan, was it?
Yeah. So, I mean,
Must have been Ashley's lot, surely.
that's the other thing I keep getting asked, is how many people are going to go to Wembley. But I mean, I guess you guys, I'm being stopped in the street by people who've never had any interest in us at all. One of my neighbours, I parked my car on her drive, and she said to me, "Oh, I'm coming to Wembley with you." She said, "It'll be brilliant. Where do I buy my tickets from?" So I don't know how many people we'll take, but I mean, the thing that we've got to do now off the pitch is we've got to bang the drum and make sure everybody in the area knows when we're going, where we're going, and at least they can do that. What I don't want to do is find afterwards that sort of the publicity machine was lacking and people didn't know about it. But shows like this are brilliant, and everything else that we're doing, and the crowds have grown over the last couple of weeks. So, we're getting enough. I think we're sort of increasing our carbon footprint with the amount of leaflets and posters we're getting printed, and we're going to get them round the town. We've got someone walking around all the shops. Even the West Ham shop have said we can have a poster up. So yeah, it'll be good. So supporters are excited, but the game that we're all looking at the moment is this Wednesday.
So, with the actual now being in those sort of playoffs, I mean, when are the semi-finals and finals? How close are they to that? Is it the end of April or early May, like the Southern League ones, or is it a little bit earlier?
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be truthful. I've got a feeling that the final is sort of over the last bank holiday weekend. So when's that? Is that, or the next bank holiday weekend? Is that
Yeah,
May?
I think it's the fourth and fifth over that weekend, the finals,
Yeah.
aren't they?
Yeah, the
Running
finals.
right through to the Monday, but I'm not sure what day it's on or what
Yeah.
whether they've planned it yet.
So if the it, in all fairness, it could well be a Romford Great Waker in Plough final and a Romford Great Waker in FA Bars final.
I think it's more chance of being a semi-final at the moment. We could be playing them because they look like they're going to get the fifth spot. We could get second. We could play them the week before Wembley as well, yeah.
Mm. Don't want that, do you? I don't suppose they'd want that either, in all fairness.
Just with the playoffs, you just got to wait and see who you get, haven't you? I mean, that'll be a different game to Wembley, and just got, we've got to try and wheel three of them, basically, the semi-final, final, and then the next final.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, guys, I say we're here for you 100%. Anything you need me to do for Romford Football Club, you've only got to pick up the phone or get Steve to contact me. I'm over the moon for you. I really, really am, because I don't think there's a club out there that deserve it more than Romford does. As I've said to you on numerous occasions before, I'm just buzzing for you, and I can't wait to buy my ticket when they're released. When do they get released, Steve?
Do we know? They come out on Thursday, David, but I'm sure I can sort you a ticket.
Well, they come out Thursday.
That bloke will never know he's bought 141.
But in all fairness, they're out Thursday, so make sure you get those tickets. You know, to go and see. We'll sort of remind BBC Sports Essex that it is an all Essex final, of course, between Romford and, of course, Great Wakering as well, who will hopefully be our guests this time next week. But it's going to be a fantastic day out for all of you guys, and I do wish you all the best, and hopefully it's something that you'll remember for the rest of your life. And who knows, Finlay, if you're as good as everybody tells me you are, it won't be your last.
Hopefully not.
He's got more chances than me of it. I'll say that for sure.
Jamie, one more year.
One more year, yeah. I'll tell you something, David, just on that point. I've been telling Steve that I want a I've been retiring for the last two seasons and he's not let me. So yeah, as long as my legs keep going, he keeps telling me I've got one more year in me.
Well, so just before I go to Adrian, there was somebody mentioned someone's name earlier on, and I've been chasing him and chasing him and chasing him for my life in football. So if you actually do get to see Mr. McLean at any time, ask him to reply to my Twitter messages, can you? So that he might come on the show.
Yeah, I'll be seeing him Saturday, mate, so I'll let him know.
Yeah, happy days. But we'll just quickly jump from FA Bars and, of course, jump to, of course, Mr. Andrew Large, who's coming in. And, of course, we'll go back down the mouse hole. And Andrew, since we last spoke, it's not been too bad, has it? Good win at the weekend against Melbourne, and it looked like a really tough game on paper.
Yeah, a bit mixed, to be honest, David. We beat Melbourne 3-0 on Saturday. Previous Tuesday, we lost 4-3 at home to Melksham. Having been 3-2 up in the 91st minute, we managed to lose 3-4. And the previous Saturday, we lost at Larkhall. So all that buoyant talk about getting in the playoffs has been dimmed somewhat. I think we still have a chance, but it depends on results elsewhere, because Larkhall and Bristol Manor Farm are probably the favourites to get fourth and fifth spot. But we had a great day on Saturday. I have to say, following up your discussion about the VARs, as a diehard Worcester City fan...
I forgot that, yeah.
We had just beaten Malvern 3-0, and I looked at the result from Great Wakering, and it had just gone to penalties. And I thought, there's still a chance, but it wasn't to be. So I think Worcester City have got to be content with winning the Step 5 Championship, Hellenic Premier League. So they'll be in the Southern League next season, probably in the Central Division.
Well, I've actually seen already a thing from non-league maps, which puts, they always go with the top two in each league. So they assume that the second place team is going to be promoted. They actually put Romford in the Isthmian North, and they put Worcester in the Northern League.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, that's possible.
So I can't remember Northern what it was, but they had
yeah, Northern Prem, yeah.
They did have them up in the Northern.
That's happened before. I think I said to you before, they've over the last 20 years or so, they've been in the Southern and the Northern, you know, moved every couple of years or so, because they're right on that geographical line between the two areas. But you know, just down the road from Worcester is Malvern, yeah, just a bit west of Worcester, and they're in the Southern League Division One South, which is on Saturday they made their 500-mile journey down to West Cornwall and brought 200 fans with them.
Wow.
Who most of whom had made a weekend of it in West Cornwall. And it just made me think that lots of people complain about travelling to Mousel, you know, to near Land's End. But if you play it right, it could be quite a good weekend away. So we had by far our biggest gate of the season on Saturday. Made quite a bit of a killing on bar takings.
We were talking about a trip that they haven't sorted out yet. If they win the bars, maybe a trip to down to Penzance in Cornwall might be a thing, and you can get a game while you're down there.
Yeah.
I've actually played them before.
Have you?
Yeah, I've played Mousehall before down in Penzance.
Who was that, Finny?
It was for Upton Park.
Oh yeah.
It was like we played pre-season. I think the score was about, we lost about 11-0.
Seven,
was it?
Yeah.
I remember playing in that.
It was a good night, wasn't it?
It was really good.
Good night for charity.
it was really good. It was for charity. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
So what sort of distances, Andrew? Just remind us that you do on some of your league games.
League game total 7,500.
Imagine we get used to do that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something interesting. We're playing our much postponed local derby with Tavistock.
Tavistock again, yeah.
Tavistock is 85 miles away.
And that's the local derby.
That's our local derby, yeah. And it's been postponed twice already because of weather. But hopefully next season things will change, because there's a very good chance of two Cornwall sides getting promoted from the Western League into the Southern South, Falmouth and Helston. So after a couple of years break, we'll have two local derbies, you know, for bank holiday gate attendances. But our attendances this season are down quite a bit, because we have no local teams to play. We're the only team in Cornwall to be playing in the Southern League in Cornwall. And we are way out west. We're not just over the border in Cornwall, we're 70 miles further on, as you know, David.
I do, yeah, very well.
It is a long way.
It's a long way. But I would say, Andrew, between yourselves and Romford, you know, there is a connection for me between the two clubs. And the connection is that you could not wish for two better clubs. And I've been involved in non-league football for, you know, 13, 14 years. And I don't think I've been involved with two clubs that are that brilliant, you know, and that welcoming as yourselves and, of course, Steve's Romford.
Yeah. Well, it's very nice of you to say so. It does make it very enjoyable to make the whole club a welcoming place. Because it makes a difference to everyone. You get 200 or 300 people there enjoying the experience before the match, during the match, and after the match, and often over the weekend. Yeah, it makes a difference.
What Steve? I mean, if you get to the playoffs and win the playoffs, I mean, are you expecting to be going into the, you know, into that sort of Isthmian League? And if so, where do you think you'd be put? Would you be put in the Southeast Division, or would you be put in the North Division?
I would be spending the
South Central, yeah.
I've obviously got a first day to spend the summer commissioning Dan's statue that he's been promised if he gets in double. So
we've got been asking for years.
But no, I would expect... And I say expect, I would expect to be in the Isthmian North, which covers sort of Essex, Suffolk and Norfolk, whereas the South East obviously covers Kent area. Although obviously where we are now, we are a little bit nearer the bridge than we have been before. But I mean, obviously East Thurrock are no more. And I think it's, is it, I can't remember who's coming down, but that's a Suffolk side as well that's probably going to come down. But there's always a reshuffle, isn't there? So someone goes pop higher up in the Conference North or Conference South, and then that cascades down. But for me, the sensible place for us to be would be in the Eastern and North. But I'll worry about that once we've...
Yeah, because the sides that have already come down already for Isthmian and Prem are Concord Rangers, Haringey Borough,
yeah,
and Kingstonian, and then it's a toss up between Margate
and
Cheshunt, Canby Island, possibly.
No, I think they're safe now. Canby.
Canby have
they stayed up the weekend.
44, so what with 42-6. Yeah, they are. They are so. Yeah, they are safe. Yeah, 42. Yeah, so it's between Cheshunt.
Shoot out between Margate and Cheshunt.
Yeah,
I would imagine Margate would probably go southeast.
Yeah, Cheshunt would go north, wouldn't they?
Oh, it could go in the north, but that was also in the central, weren't they?
Yeah,
yeah.
And just depends, don't forget they're increasing the clubs as well, aren't they?
Yeah, so you're up to 22, isn't it? 22, 24.
So yeah. they've got some room to shuffle them around a little bit.
Yeah,
22 in the Southern League Division One South.
Yeah,
well, in Division One.
Yeah,
so the only thing we're sure of is where we are on the map. We will only ever be in the South. We can't be in the Central.
Well, it's quite funny because I think Paul Housie at Ware, I think he'll be more than happy because he might actually get games, because for the last two seasons in that division, there's only been 19 teams in that division. Of course, Harlow game pop the season before last. And then there was, I think Marlow were taken out and put into the Isthmian League and no one replaced them. So for the last 2 years, they've played with only 19 teams in the Southern Central. So, yeah. But guys, a massive thank you for everybody for joining us tonight, for Andrew, to Dan, to Pinto, of course, to Scott, to Finlay, to Jamie, and of course, the legend that is Steve as well. Massive thank you. Hopefully speak to you all again quite soon. But we do wish you all the very best, of course, Wednesday and going forward and getting into those, making sure you get the second place and getting that promotion that the club thoroughly deserves as well. And then, of course, the big one. On May the 11th, and hopefully we can get you on maybe the Monday before and have another chat and see where the excitement levels may be at come sort of early May. But a massive thank you for giving up your free Monday evenings. Really do appreciate it. And to everybody that's watching, a massive thank you for watching as well tonight. And of course, we'll leave you with one message. Romford, they're in Essex, BBC Sport Essex. They're not in London. Until next week, good night.
Thanks a lot.